Welcome to the ADAA podcast about treatment resistance. Today we're talking with Dr. Mark Pollack at Massachusetts General Hospital and Harvard Medical School. Dr. Pollack, let me ask you first to briefly describe treatment resistance and any professional experiences you can share.
Well, the issue of treatment resistance in anxiety disorder is actually a pretty broad one. While we have very effective pharmacologic and psychosocial treatments for the array of anxiety disorders, panic disorder, social phobia, generalized anxiety disorder, PTSD, OCD, the truth is that many, if not most people, who receive typical first-line interventions for these conditions, although they get better, most do not get completely well. And what we're really aiming for ultimately in working with patients is to try to move people from symptomatic to better to ultimately remitted or well.
And what is the difference between response and remission?
Response refers to the idea that people's symptoms are better, that they're not quite as acute or distressing as they were before they received treatment. But the ultimate goal of treatment is and should be remission, that is, getting people free of their symptoms, whether they be panic attacks or generalized anxiety or obsessions or compulsions, to get them free of those symptoms and to get them fully back to functioning.
And is this commonly accomplished?
Unfortunately, while about half to two-thirds of people respond to initial first-line treatments, only about a quarter or a third really fully remit with initial treatment. So much of what we do in practice and working with patients is to try to get them over the next step, to move them from feeling a little better, having the edge taken off their symptoms, to really getting them back to full functioning and lack of any significant difficulties.
And how can you, what treatment interventions can you briefly discuss here?
Well, there are a variety of different interventions that can be helpful in trying to get better response and ultimately remission for people. The truth is there's not a lot of systematic data on this yet, although there are some studies, including some we're involved in, that are currently going on that may give us some answers down the future. But currently, from a pharmacologic perspective, often we will combine medications. So we might add an antidepressant together with a benzodiazepine or with an anticonvulsant, an antipsychotic, other kinds of medications. And sometimes combining treatments or switching from one agent to another can be helpful. In addition, we often combine medication treatments and cognitive behavioral interventions to try to boost response. For some people who might start with cognitive behavioral treatments, their therapist may also add additional cognitive or behavioral kinds of interventions to try to boost response, and in some cases may refer the patient to medication treatment to receive in addition to the behavioral interventions.
Are there ways that you can measure success?
Well, there are a variety of rating scales that get used to measure outcomes in studies, but in practice, really what we're looking for is for patients to report that they're no longer having significant anxiety symptoms, again, whether that be panic attacks or generalized kinds of anxiety difficulties, and very importantly, that their function is where they want it to be, that they're interacting well with their family, with their friends, that they don't have any limitations in terms of their ability to work or to experience the full range of activities they'd like to be involved in.
Why does it seem to patients that sometimes medications take a long time to take effect?
Well, often medications and behavioral interventions take longer than we'd like them to. That may in part have to do with changes in brain chemistry that might be relevant, that may take a while to work. But a lot of it almost certainly has to do with the fact that for patients to really get better, they have at least two burdens on them. One is they need to feel less anxious, less worried, less fearful of whatever situations they might be anxious about. But then they need to make behavioral changes. They need to start exposing themselves to situations that they previously have been avoiding, to allow themselves to think about things they may have been frightened to think about. And those behavioral changes often take weeks or months and only occur as people feel more comfortable that they can go into these situations without being overwhelmed.
Thank you, Dr. Pollack. And this is Jean Kaplan-Tigro for ADAA.